Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you in Hamilton again. I'm going to have to ask Peter if I can come down in summertime, because I always seem to get here in wintertime, Peter, when it's very cold. But it is nice to be here, but it's a lovely Sabbath morning, isn't it? And we're delighted to be here, even though it is cold. And I notice my friend, the Plumbers, are out the back again. He seems to be there every year. He comes back and with his eggs, Peter. Must be nice and quiet here during the week. And very peaceful, isn't it? Anyway, as Peter said to you, as you know, I work from the conference office and I care for trust services. And that is that we prepare wills for our church members. And sometimes those who are not church members. So we're happy to do that. And that's the service that the church provides. And I'll give you a little brochure as you leave church this afternoon. And just to keep something in mind, that it is important that you have a will. And you provide for your families in the event of anything happened to you. Because it's a very difficult time for those who are left behind. And it's even more difficult if things haven't been put in place on a proper basis. Let's just bow our heads this morning as we invite God to be with us as we open his word this morning. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you that we can worship you in freedom this morning. And as we open your word, may you be with us and may we receive a blessing from you. We pray in your name this morning. Amen. You know, Seventh-day Adventists for years have correctly identified the signs of Christ's coming, haven't they? Chapter 24, the great chapter in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, what does it say after that? Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars, what? Shall fall from heaven. And so every Adventist knows about the great dark day, don't they, of May 19, 1780. That seems such a long time ago, doesn't it? That night, the moon looked like blood. November 13, 1833, remember for the falling of the stars. And so I guess we can see that verse 29 of Matthew 24 has just about been fulfilled, hasn't it? But I think we need to be very careful here. We must not overlook the last few words in that particular verse. And that says there, and the powers of the heavens shall be what? Shall be shaken. Now, what is that? What is that? What is this event that has been predicted many times in Scripture? If you look in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for thus saith the Lord, I will shake the heavens. And further on in chapter 21 of verse 2, it says, speaking to Zerubbabel, he said, I will shake the heavens. Isaiah 13, verse 13 says, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be removed out of her place in the day of his fierce anger. Verse 4 of chapter 34 in the book of Isaiah says, and all the hosts of heavens shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. In Revelation 6:14 says, and the sky over our head shall be rolled up. All of these events are predicted in Scripture. Events that will erase the visible things that you and I see in the sky every day and every night. They'll be shaken from the sky. They'll be wiped clean like you wipe a slate clean. What is this event that is going to take place? Has it happened yet? I don't believe it has. But you know, the book of Luke, the third book in the New Testament, describes this event just a little more clearly. Luke chapter 21 and verse 26 says, people will be so afraid that they will faint, wondering what is happening in the world. And here's those words again, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Many times in Scripture, God says that the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This event, according to the book of Luke, will be a worldwide event where everybody will see what is happening. The sun and the moon and the stars, as we know today, will experience a gigantic shaking. And this event will be in full view of everyone in the sky. And this morning, I think, when all of these heavenly bodies are shaken, can you imagine the panic that will be in the streets of Australia and in every other country in the world? Verse 26 in Luke describes this fearful event as being seen by every inhabitant in the world. And this sign will be seen in the sky. But this sign has not yet happened yet. Has not happened yet. It's still in the future. Now, when Mrs. White wrote that book, The Great Controversy, she wrote it in the year 1888. And she said, this is what she said, fearful signs of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens. That was in the year 1888. What could it be? You know, for my entire life, the ground where I've walked on has been relatively stable. Fortunately, I haven't lived in Japan or in Christchurch. And the sky in clear weather is relatively the same all the time. The stars are very predictable. You know, my old dad was a sailor, and he used to tell me that he could plot his course by the stars in the heavens. And I could never understand how Dad could get from one place to another by looking at the stars. But the stars are very predictable, he said. And you could obtain your latitude and longitude with a good sextant. No, but all this changes. All this will change when our stars and our sun and our moon and our planet begin its wild shaking. I was reading the other day where some scientists had said, because of the earthquake that has happened in Japan in March, the axis of our world has changed. And there will be more events that will take place that will shake our world. The New International Version says that men will faint with terror. Men will faint from fear. They will be so apprehensive on what is happening and what is going to come upon this world. But the good thing about it, God has told us what to expect. He has told us what is going to happen. You know, Malachi Martin wrote a book. He wrote a book about this event. He is not a Christian or not an Adventist Christian, but he said, this event that will take place will be an event on public view in the skies, in the oceans, on the continental landmasses of this planet. It will involve particularly our human sun. He believes this is coming. And this will be like, we know what an earthquake is like, but this will be like a skyquake that will move the stars, our sun, and our planet. But you know, it will also knock out all of those satellites that are up in that sky, in our sky. We don't know how many satellites are in the sky. You know, if I had to go to visit somebody that I don't know where they live, I get out my little navman and I put in the address and it sends a signal up into the sky, and in about 2 seconds it comes back and it tells me exactly where to go, how long it will take and how many kilometres it will take. All because of a satellite up in the sky. But these satellites will be shaken out of the sky. and their flaming balls will come streaming down back to earth. Now, global communications today, as we know it, will come to a complete standstill. All ships and all aircrafts today are 100% dependent on global navigational systems. And can you imagine when you're flying and all of these satellites are knocked out? The panic that will strike our world. Everything will ground to a halt. Everything will come to a complete standstill. And panic will set in. But you know, when you read Matthew 24, when you read that great chapter, you read about earthquakes. You read about famines. You read about pestilence. You read about wars. You read about false Christs. But you know, verse 6 of that same chapter says, all of these things should not upset us. We shouldn't be too worried about what we see. They have always happened. They're a bit like Noah's rainbow. Every time Noah saw a rainbow in the sky, it was a reminder to him of the promise of God that he would not what send another flood. And every time we see a war, every time we see all these disasters in the world, we are reminded that Christ's coming is soon. Jesus will be faithful to his promise that someday soon he will return. John 14 verse 2 says, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And when we see all these famines and all these disasters, we're reminded of what a sick world we are living in, aren't we? Every time a sign in Matthew 24 happens, we are reminded that Jesus will come soon. You know, but embedded in Matthew 24, right in Matthew 24, are two, and only two actual specific signs of the immediate and imminent return of Jesus. The first one is in Matthew 24, verse 14. And we know that verse very well. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And I guess as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe this. And we have aggressively preached the gospel to hasten the day when Jesus will come back. But the second sign, the second is the only sign of Jesus coming in Matthew 24 that is actually literally called a sign. It's called the sign. And in Matthew 24, verse 30, it says, at that time. Now, what time is that? That's the time of Jesus coming, isn't it? At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. You know, I guess since Jesus' first coming was accompanied by unusual signs in the sky, it seems reasonable to expect that his second coming will also be accompanied by unusual and extraordinary signs in the sky. This last sign is actually followed by the coming of Jesus himself. When we see these things in the sky, then we know that Jesus' return is imminent. Just before Jesus comes, this sign, the sign of his coming, will appear in the sky. And this sign will be so fearful that many will faint with fear. Luke 21 verse 6 says, the courage of many will falter because of the fearful fate that they see coming on the earth. Because the stability of the very heavens will be broken up. I guess severe, never-before-seen disasters will overwhelm our system. sound civilized system that we have. And our leaders and those in authority will stand clueless and helpless as they look to the skies. Can you just cast your mind back a few months to the floods in Queensland and the floods here in our own state? Our leaders didn't have much of a clue of what to do, did they? They could not control it. They didn't know what to do. And it will seem that every law of science and motion will run amok. Every earthly support will be cut off. But you know, during this final crisis, two very important prophecies in Scripture will be fulfilled. And for a long time, when I read Revelation 13, and I wonder to myself, how on earth could a one world government ever come into being when we look at the world today? Because nations are very independent, aren't they? We just had a new independent nation in South Sudan just this week, the latest nation in the earth. Nations want to be independent. How on earth will they ever come and form a one world government? When I think of this, when I think how this may happen, I think it is because of the sheer panic that will come about in this world because of the sign that will appear in the sky. Our world will be coping unsuccessfully with all the floods, the famines. And we know the famine that's happened in East Africa just this week, isn't it? The worst famine in 60 years in East Africa. How terrible that must be for those folk there. Earthquakes. We've heard about earthquakes, haven't we, this year? All of these natural disasters are taking place right before our own very eyes as we speak. And then to top it all off, the sign in the sky will appear. The world will be in a state of shock. The world will be in a state of panic. But I want you to look this morning at what the sea beast does near the end of time. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Revelation is a chapter we should study on a regular basis. Revelation 13, verse 7 says, "He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation." Verse 8 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth worshipped the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world." Verse 9 is important. "He who has an ear, let him hear." If you can hear what this is saying, then it is important. You need to listen. And here we have another beast, a land beast, that becomes a partner with a sea beast. And he makes the entire earth worship the sea beast. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw another beast." And from prophecy we know this to be the United States. "Coming up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." He looked gentle. He looked gentle. But when he opened his mouth, he spoke with harsh things. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship this beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And we can identify that, can't we? And then he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to fall down from heaven. Verse 14 says, "And he deceived the inhabitants of the earth." That's a very sad text, that one. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth and caused all who would not worship to lose their life. And he forced everyone to receive a special mark if he wanted to buy or sell. These are going to be difficult times that we are coming into. But we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And these two beasts become dangerous when they become friends. But how do they get all this power? They don't have it today. How do you think all of this power will be given to one particular organisation? To me, it seems it is the foreboding sign in the sky that causes so much panic and so much confusion that the Bible tells us that men's heart will faint with fear. Those doomed, helpless, petrified people become willing to grasp at any straw in the hope of saving themselves. They would accept any ruler. They would accept anybody who gets up and tells them what they want to hear. And I think we can see an underlying panic behind the verses here in Revelation chapter 13. Because this chapter does not picture normal times. It depicts a time when the whole world is in a state of distress and a state of panic. And Daniel helps us set the time for this last day crisis. Daniel 12 says, at that time, and here's those few words again, at that time, the time of the end, the time of Christ's coming. At that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince withstanded for the children of thy people. And then he says that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to this very same day. And at that time, here is the good promise, the great promise. At that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. When is this frightful time of trouble? Right before the resurrection, right before the coming of Jesus. And as this, at the same time as this sign appears in the sky in Matthew 24. Just before Jesus comes, all nature will break loose. And I believe this morning very much that we are seeing the beginning of those happening today, where nature is breaking loose. We have never seen disasters of the magnitude that we are seeing today. Disaster follows disaster. There will be earthquakes. This is what the Bible says. There will be earthquakes. Have we seen earthquakes today? There will be floods. Have we seen floods today? There will be fires. Have we seen fires today? Tsunamis. And to top it all off, the sky will fall apart. The sun changes, perhaps slowly at first. But Daniel says the worst time of distress in world history happens right before the resurrection, at the coming of Jesus. You know, it's wonderful that God has told us what to expect, isn't it? We know what to expect. Matthew 24, 29 to 30 says, Jesus' coming is predicted by the shaking of the powers of heaven. Isaiah describes it in verse 4 of chapter 34. All the stars of heaven will be dissolved. All the starry hosts will fall. God is going to wipe the sky clean, ready for his coming. But you know, at this particular time, two other entities in this world are waiting for this event to take place as well. It is at this time that these two organizations hope to attain control. You know, Satan is waiting for this event. The Pope is waiting for this event. For these two world powers, this is the ideal time. It's a time of confusion. And you know, in a crisis, people are much more willing to exchange one set of values for another. Disaster creates conditions particularly fitted to the rapid alteration of a person's belief system. And the crisis displaces the familiar environment which you structure our life around. So when these things take place, it creates a crisis. It creates a panic. We are left in a daze. And in this daze, people are more willing to open their minds to new beliefs. They will accept new authorities. At this time, when the nations are in anguish and perplexity, Satan will arrive. And I want you to listen to what Mrs. White said in The Great Controversy. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan himself will impersonate Christ. You know, the church has long professed to look for the Saviour's advent as the consummation of her hope. But now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In all the confusion that's going on in the world, Satan will appear and impersonate Christ himself. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the book of Revelation. He will appear exactly as John pictured Jesus. And the glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eye has ever seen. And the shout of triumph will ring in the air by those people in the earth. Christ has come. Christ has come. And people will prostrate themselves in adoration before him. While he lifts up his hands and he pronounces a blessing upon the people. Just as Christ blessed his disciples when he was here on earth. He will be very persuasive. People will fall over themselves in adoration to him. His voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody, and in gentle, compassionate tones, he will present some of the same gracious truths that Christ presented when he was here on earth himself. How easy will it be to be deceived when you hear the devil preaching the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. Those same truths which Jesus presented, the devil also himself will present to the people, and many will be deceived. He claims to have changed the Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday, and he commands all to hallow the day which he is blessed. And then he declares that those who persist in keeping holy the seventh day are blaspheming his name by refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with truth and with light. This is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. Friends, if we are not ready, if we have not fortified ourselves with the truth in God's word, we also will be deceived. It will be so easy because the crowds will flock and his voice will be so persuasive that we are told that many of our leaders will fail. We don't look to those in authority. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Satan will attempt to be the CEO of this world. And this will all be brought about by severe mega disasters that are taking place on this world. They will overwhelm the world's resources to deal with them. And this is what will bring about the final crisis. And as true Christians living in the world today, we are engaged in a war. And we need to clearly identify whose side we are on. We need to make sure we are on Christ's side. We need to make sure this morning that Christ is our Saviour. Revelation 12:17 says that the dragon was wroth with the woman. He was angry with God's church. And he went to make war with the remnant of his seed, those that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. They are the two clear, discerning differences in God's church. Those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the testimony of Jesus. When we think of all these things, do you ever wonder whether we will be victorious? Absolutely. Absolutely, because in verse 21 of Revelation 15, John said, I saw them who had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and they stand on the sea of glass. How do we get that victory? How do we get that success? John 5 verse 1 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We need to maintain our faith and trust in God. This morning we need to ask ourselves, are we watching? Are we ready? Are we preparing ourselves every day? Do you have a true faith in Jesus as your Saviour? Luke 21 verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Friends, this morning there is going to be a difficult time coming on this world. But God has told us what to expect. We can escape all of these things. We need to watch. We need to pray. We need to be ready every day. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't worry about the things that are going around. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Friends, this morning there's no need for us to panic about what is happening in this world today. God is coming. Jesus is coming. He has told us what to expect. He's also told us how to prepare. We need to be ready. Ready every day. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you have told us what to expect. You have told us not to fear. Lord, we know your coming is soon. The signs all around us tell us that your event, this wonderful event, will take place very soon. Lord, help us to keep our faith and our trust in you strong every day. Help us to be ready. Help us not to fear for the future, but to keep our hope and our trust in you. And so this morning we ask that you be with us here. Bless each and every person. Keep them strong and keep them faithful to you. And may each of us be ready when you come. We pray in your name this morning. Amen.